Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert.
Hi, this is Andy.
And this is Steve.
And we went through a really interesting context the last time when we stopped, but we thought we'd read it again in Matthew chapter 12, and that is verses 22 through 32. And it's something to do with the kingdom of God and God's kingdom and our respect and how we would talk with respect and act with respect. You know, like when your children start going to school and they go to the first grade, they're all of a sudden going to have to get along. They're not going to be able to do things that they do at home. They're going to have to learn to sit in a chair and listen to the teacher and not hit their, you know, their student. Maybe they hit their brothers and so on, or yell at any time they want to yell. There's going to be some different rules that they have to learn to abide by. So we're going to go ahead and read that again. And Andy came up with some things that he noticed in that context.
Then one was brought to him who was demon-possessed, blind and mute, and he healed him, so that the blind and mute man both spoke and saw. And all the multitudes were amazed and said, "Could this be the son of David?" But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons." But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or else, how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house? He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. Therefore, I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come."
And you noticed some things about that. There were...
Yeah, just a couple things. And this is the first time that Jesus speaks this term, the kingdom of God. John the Baptist never said about the kingdom of God, but here Jesus is speaking about the kingdom of God, and he's saying that by the Spirit of God, and he's starting to talk about the Holy Spirit like one of the things the Holy Spirit is used in, and the power of this Holy Spirit. It says, by the Holy Spirit, or by the Spirit of God, you cast out demons by the Spirit of God. And then in the very end, he says, you can say things against Jesus, and it will be forgiven you.
I wouldn't recommend it.
I'm not saying that.
Not one bit.
I think you can get away with it. No, it says you will. But you can get forgiven,
but not terminated.
Right. But if you do this, but if you speak against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven. either in this age, meaning you can't get forgiven for it here, or even in the future, you'll never get forgiven for it.
That's one thing you watch what you say. It's eternal life and death, isn't it?
I'm serious.
I think it's even scary to do the other. And I hope you all think the same way. And it was funny because when I became a new believer with a new attitude towards how I cussed and everything, I worked with a guy named Roger. He's passed away now, and a very dear friend of mine. He was a little bit older than I was. And he was like my babysitter's age, and we were really bonded together in our hearts. And he kept using the Lord's name, you know, just in casual conversation. So I went to him totally in private, like it says, if you see a brother sin, even though he wasn't my brother in the Lord. But I still practiced this, and I went to him in private, and actually I went below him, under him, in a way that I came up under him and said, Roger, can you please not take the Lord's name in vain? And he said, and sometimes you expect people to get mad at you when you say that. And he goes, you know, Gilbert, I can't promise you, but I'll sure try. And I tell you what, we were working really hard. We were doing logger type work, but we were doing surveying, and it was really hard and dangerous work that we were doing for real men. And it wouldn't look good for me to cry right there, but it was so touching to me the way he answered me that I almost felt like crying. And and later on, what was interesting is we were coming back in a survey crew rig, and we got to talking, and I got to John with the boys, John away, you know, just talking and goofing off, and a word came out of my mouth, and he looked at me in the rearview mirror. He was the oldest guy, and we were a bunch of kids in the back, like 19 or whatever. He looked there, and he goes, Gilbert, that's all he had to say. But I'm glad he heard it, because, I mean, can you imagine that, though? That he turned it, but he did it in such a way that he didn't embarrass me. He just said it lowly enough. He goes, Gilbert.
And you knew what he meant.
I was so thankful he reminded me. It was interesting. An unbeliever can sometimes be used by God to tell you something.
He pointed out to you what you really believed.
Yes.
And you're like, really?
Well, God can even talk through a donkey.
You know, well, sure.
Like Balaam, he talked to his donkey, talked to him. And God can talk to you. He can remind you through even the unbeliever. You got to have your ears open.
So there wasn't somebody around there that you were fellowshipping with or something that said it. It was this person.
It was a person that I—
So it's like God is correcting you whenever, and just you don't have to be around people. He'll right. get it. He got to you.
Yeah. And boy, you know what? I think it stuck with me way more than it would if a brother in the Lord would have said it. It really got to my heart. And from that time on, I've really watched it. Also, I was thinking about this. The kingdom of God will come within you, not upon you. That's in Matthew 28. Matthew 12, verse 28, and that's that word F, the kingdom of God. You'll cast out demons when the kingdom of God comes and lives inside of you. Now, this is Matthew, so we can say that. That's a more accurate translation. Also, it says, if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided within himself, not against himself. That's that word F again. You know, it's just like what may be happening in America today. We are divided. We could easily fall in a war because we're divided within America, not against America. China'd be against America.
It's like fighting with yourself.
And Russia'd be against America, but within means the Democrats and Republicans are so busy fighting that the war could be going on. Well, I think they're doing things right now that are being totally ignored because we're fighting within ourselves. F is like effervescence. You know, epi is like epidermis upon, and F is within. So within God's kingdom, you know, with us as brothers in the Lord, we don't want to be divided ever. That's what, and we don't want to have our voices loud. We heard before the voices not heard in the streets or whatever, that we are gentle with each other. We're not yelling at each other, at war with each other. And these are in the, this is the beginning step. So don't fight, kids. And by the way, watch your potty mouth. No potty mouth. Do we cover that enough, do you think? Matthew 12, starting in verse 33. And I think the context, it goes to 38 or 37. 33 to 37.
Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned.
And all those words are a form of the word logo. And one is, every idle word is actually the fundamentals. You know, like you learn in your family, there's just certain fundamentals that you learn. And this is a fundamental. If you treat the basic principles of Jesus, you know, these first lessons that we're going to learn, that'll be a foundation for everything else we'll learn, we're to be careful with our basic, these basic teachings that we learn from the very beginning that are going to help form us. And it's all about Christ's image. He said, follow me. He said more than that, follow everything I do. Isn't that what he really said? Follow everything I do, follow the way I talk, but you don't have to use these and thous and those, you know, like some religions. But we have to be careful. We have to be considerate of others. We even have to die for others. In other words, let them have their way once in a while. Maybe a lot more than we have our way, in a simple sense. So we're beginning simply. We're not getting deep into this. And oh, by the way, in the context before, whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it'll be forgiven. And that's foundations. So maybe we get those a little off, and we get better and better at about it. But we're not to, but he doesn't use that term image, logo, when he's talking about the Holy Spirit. He just says whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit. Sounds like a broad range. So in other words, be really careful on that subject.
In verse 34, Jesus again is saying what John the Baptist says. He calls them brood of vipers too. He said the same words.
He's talking about religious leaders, right? What is he talking about, Andy?
Oh, he was talking about the same people that that John was talking about, the scribes and Pharisees that went out there, that weren't out there because they were interested in what he was doing. They were jealous because all the people were leaving him and going out to see him.
So in Israel, he'd be talking about the scribes and the Pharisees, but in America, maybe it's pastors and teachers. Religious leader, reverence. Boy, there's one whole religion that really got taken down low because of their activities. I mean, they've got sued a lot and so on because of what they were doing. And they're not nearly as strong anymore. And in some places, you'll find that churches are now used for selling secondhand clothes. and used for, even used for brew pubs, the buildings. It's going to be interesting to see what happens in America if America doesn't turn back to the Bible and to God instead of just talking about it and not really teaching it. They'll say the Bible and then go on and use their own words. But as you notice, we're reading the Bible. 38 through 42. And if there's anything else in there.
I was just going to say that Jesus in verse 35 broke men into two groups. He likes to break things simply so we can understand them. Good men with good hearts and evil men with evil hearts. Just good and evil. It's two groups.
It goes to the heart, not the
outside. It's the heart, yes.
Yeah.
He says he puts evil men, and it has it because it's their heart.
Also, some of the our mores are what we call good and evil. In some countries, they don't consider them good and evil. We're raised with Victorian ideas where in the Bible, it actually doesn't condemn certain things that we with our Victorian ideas think are wrong. And so we have to judge according to the Bible. If the Bible says it's evil, it's evil. If the Bible is silent, we have to say it's silent. If it's an ought, then we ought to do it. There's some oughts in the Bible. You ought to do this. 38 to 42, please.
Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." And he answered and said to them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except for the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and indeed a greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and indeed a greater than Solomon is here." You know, they ask him for a sign, and immediately he told them that they were an evil and adulterous generation. Well, don't hold back. No, he said an evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, and no sign will be given it except the prophet Jonah. Now, that sounds like a king talking, doesn't it?
Right. But what's interesting, if you know the end of the story about Nineveh, he went into Nineveh, that it says later on that men of Nineveh will rise and condemn this generation. They were actually repented. And even the king got up and repented. And it, for a kingdom, it's actually showing, so let's relate that to a person. What part of the body do you think the king would be? Would it be our flesh or our soul or our spirit?
Well, it would be the part that runs us.
Yeah.
Our fingers don't run us.
I've never seen my fingers run me.
It doesn't run you. It's deeper than your hands and your body. And everybody knows that their mind doesn't run them. So it's something in people that runs them that's stronger than they even know. And Jesus will reveal this when he talks. He'll start revealing these things, but the heart of a person is where they run from.
So Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, and the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So this is an interesting topic. When we go along, we'll get into exactly what he was doing, because he wasn't down there on vacation, you know, sitting on a lounge chair. He was doing something extremely important in the heart of the earth. And there's another name for it, and we'll talk about that later. I don't want to spill the beans ahead of time. But all these things have answers to them, and they're very curious and very interesting as the story builds. But we're on step one. We're starting off understanding this king of the kingdom of the heavens, and he's relating with physical terms what's really happening in heaven and how, well, even like the temple that was made with human hands, how you come in the east side and you would go towards the west, and where God's throne was towards the west. You'd come in from the east gate and you would approach God. Well, in real life, it says, look up because your salvation draws near. And so the first subject we're talking about here is the kingdom of heaven. What is above? God's above. And us in the New Testament entering into the kingdom of heaven. So we're to look up because our salvation is drawing near. And 43 through 45.
Now when the unclean spirit goes out of a man, it passes through waterless places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to my house and from which I came. And when it comes, it finds it unoccupied, swept, and put in order. Then it goes and takes along with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself. And they go in and live there, and the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. That is the way it will be also with this evil generation.
Here Jesus has talked about, well, we talked before about Jesus, that Jonah was actually a picture of what was going to happen. When was Jonah alive? He'd be like 500 years before Christ, about 400 or 500 years before Jesus. This happened, and it was a view of what Jesus was going to do when he died on the cross to set us free. And what Jonah's job was, he was the opposite of Jesus. If God said go to a certain place, he'd go right there. But Jonah, he was told to go to Nineveh, and so he goes the exact opposite direction. And he heads, you know, in the direction of Spain, and instead of he should have been heading towards Iraq and where Nineveh was. And so he's going the wrong direction, totally disobeys God, but it was still a sign of what Jesus was going to do because he ended up going. And because of that, the king got off his throne, proclaimed, I believe it was a fast, and all the people turned to God. And as a result, they end up being saved. We'll see those people that Jonah preached to. And Jonah, he was exactly the opposite of Jesus, but he still did it, and he was still a man of God. But God allowed this to use this as a picture of what Jesus was going to do on the cross. And Jonah was actually upset that God saved him. He wanted to see them have a big spanking. And on the opposite happened, that shows you God's mind versus man. And so Jesus was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth to set us free.
And that's the biggest number I've found in the body of people returning to God, repenting. 100, it says it, 120,000 people. That's a pretty big conversion, isn't it?
Yeah. Thousands fold. And so 300-400 years later, here comes Jesus and does exactly that. Sets people free, just like actually Jonah did, but he fought it for a while and he had to repent, and then he had an attitude after he repented. But that's man's, you know, sometimes man, we hold grudges. And but this next context that we just read about the unclean spirit, this is talking about a person who was demon-possessed, they were cleansed, and then they revert back, and they no longer are Holy Spirit filled, and they become crazy because the house is swept and clean, and they bring back, each one brings back, how many more?
Seven.
Seven times. They're seven times worse. So some people you see in mental institutions and so on, they are seven times worse. And drugs, all the drugs in the world, they're not going to help that person out one bit. And that's what happens. Anything else you guys were thinking of? This journey that we take with the Lord is a one direction, isn't it? It's one way, and it's up. And this is, he gives us warnings. Wasn't it interesting he talks about watch your mouth? Your eternal life depends on it. When you get into an area of speaking, when you get into the area of the Holy Spirit, really watch your mouth. And there's a scripture that says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So apparently it's talking about watching your heart, isn't it, Steve?
Yeah.
Well, that's the origin.
Yeah.
Going back up to verse 33, it talked about good fruit, and then it talked about speaking, and then those things come out of your heart, so it's one or the other.
If demon possession were not common, would it be found so many times in the Bible? How many times have we run into this now?
You're just going to keep running into it, and Jesus is giving more deals about more rules about how it works, why it's there, what can happen to the person, and in giving that information, it may be that just really drives the questions that people might have about the Bible. So instead of when you look at the Bible, there will be enough questions that come out of what Jesus says that you won't even really have to try to come up with your own questions.
It's definitely not hidden, even on the first step.
He puts it right out in the open.
Really, if you hadn't have thought about these being steps, you wouldn't have put it, if you went to teach about it, you wouldn't be teaching about this, would you?
No,
natural man.
No, really, you wouldn't, because you would think, oh, this might frighten people. We don't want to tell them this. But he tells them that.
Yeah.
Everything that we've talked about is in an order that he's talking.
And what are the names of these four that we're talking about? They're called the good news, the gospel. Well, the good news is healed. But this one is warning them, don't turn back. God has forgiven you. Reminds me of a song. Don't turn back. Don't look back. God has forgiven you. Don't look back. Anyway, we'll continue on in this in Matthew chapter 12. And we're going to be going through the four gospels, the good news. And the first step that we take in our salvation is learning that Jesus is king of this new kingdom, which is called the kingdom of the heavens. And it talks about the kingdom of the heavens a lot of times and looking up. And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.